The Keel Buy are pretty litigious, and I don't want to get sued because, you know, I've had my fair share of lawsuits this year. But I've heard some people say...
Let's go. All right. Hello.
And welcome back, faithful viewers, to This Week in Canada, episode 6. We are in our new studio apartment... kind of office, I guess is the word. And I'm here. My name is Roberto Wakerell Cruz. I am a editor at the Post Millennial, and in person with me now is Nico Johnson.
This is actually, believe it or not, the first time we've ever met in person.
And the first time we've ever kissed.
Yeah. And yeah. And So we're a bit awkward because I don't really know how to talk to him. It's like meeting, I don't know whether you guys have had an online girlfriend, but I used to when I was younger. And it's like meeting an online girlfriend for the first time, and it's inevitably going to end up in tears.
I agree. This is going to be, you're going to laugh, you're going to cry, you're going to have some fun because we got some good topics this week. Another crazy week. And again, I know we say it every week.
Crazy week.
But it's been a crazy week.
Wow.
We got three big topics that we're going to really go into here today. The first one is the We Charity scandal, which, if you haven't heard by now, is a really big deal. And Nico actually has some opinions, thinks it might take down the Trudeau government.
I am convinced, and I'm a bit nervous about saying this on record, but I am convinced that this scandal has some pretty jagged teeth to it, and I think it's going to possibly bring down the Trudeau government. Now, here's why. It's blatant corruption. Just blatant corruption. And there's so many facets to it, but we can start off with the fact that the Kielbergers, or one of them, you know, who cares, they're the same people, the Kielby, donated to Justin Trudeau's leadership campaign. Their friends, Sophie Gregoire Trudeau, hosts a podcast. And every single day that this goes on, the more it's revealed that the Liberal Party, and in particular the Liberal establishment within the party, have a very affectionate relationship with the We Charity. So it's so broad that I don't know where to start, but let's just go back to basics. The Trudeau government awarded the We Charity a 900 million, or it was like 912 million, to do a job which the civil service could do. So everyone took a step back when this news came out and said, hold on, why aren't we giving this to the civil service? Justin Trudeau then said, well, the civil service can't do it. And later than that, he said, and actually, we didn't make the decision. It was the civil service, the bureaucracy, unelected, you know, technocrats who made the decision. Now, not only did this insult every bureaucrat who later came out and said, no, actually, we can make this decision, it was also revealed that it was the cabinet who made the decision. Now, this is where it gets a bit scandalous. And this is why they bought in, or the Conservative government, or sorry, the Conservative Party, are requesting that the RCMP investigate this. Everyone, it seems, in the cabinet has a relationship with the We organization, not just Justin Trudeau, who's friends with him and who has donated and appeared at We events and all the rest of it, not just his wife, but also Seamus O'Regan, Justin Trudeau's chief of staff, a whole bunch of ministers.
Bill Morneau.
Oh my God.
Bill Morneau.
Bill Borno.
Minister of Finance.
The We Charity promoted his daughter. And like, I don't think there's anything particularly special about his daughter. She's my age. She seems a bit simple, to be honest. And they put her everywhere, like she's a bloody fashion icon or whatever. So that was stupid. And then we begin to understand, oh, that's why they awarded the contract. And it's getting more and more corrupt as it goes on. And here's why I think this has a lot of potential to bring down the government. And there's some reservations to this, which I'll say later. But firstly, it's a lot simpler than the SNC-Lavalin scandal. It's easy to understand. People who aren't interested in politics can read an article and they know what's going on. It's corruption. It's blatant corruption. Secondly, Aga Khan scandal was very similar to this. However, it's so much worse because it involves everyone. It involves the whole Liberal establishment. And on top of it, it's his third, if he gets proven guilty. And I've spoken to some senior Conservatives who are convinced that he's going to be found guilty for this, that it's going to be his third ethics violation. It's his third ethics violation. The Aga Khan one was the first one. That's forgivable. This is his third one. That's more than every single government combined who came before Trudeau.
Wait, what?
It's complicated. The law was created in 2007. However, let me spin it. Christ. But here's why it... So there's some reservations to this. The Bloc Québécois pulled support yesterday saying that, you know, basically it's a minority government and they rely on the opposition to support the government if it all gets taken away. The NDP literally cannot have an election right now because they're cashless. They had to sell their plane. They just do not have the money to do it. So they're going to support the government. And the Conservatives can't afford an election right now, not in terms of money, but they have a leader who drinks too much milk and no one likes him. And they don't, as I said, they don't have a leader yet. But here's the thing. There's an ongoing investigation into this. We're not going to see this until after the leadership election. It's probably going to be a few months. When it comes out, or if the RCMP finds him guilty, which I don't know, but I'm pretty convinced that the ethics commissioner will find the Trudeau government to break an ethics violation. When that comes, and it's going to come after August, there's going to be an election. And I don't know, man. It's tough to say. The Conservative Party can be pretty useless, but it's going to be tougher than survive. What do you think?
Well, this is what I kind of... You know the story better than I do, more thoroughly than I do. But what really gets me is kind of just the simple stuff. Like, it's the optics kind of stuff. Like,
yeah.
Firstly, just how did he think no one was going to notice this?
Stonking.
How did he think he was going to get away with giving $912 million to a charity that is blatantly connected to his family? I mean, like, his brother gets money.
I forgot about that.
So, like, let's go into that a little bit. His brother got $30,000 from the charity.
Yeah.
His mother got $250,000 from the charity.
And I know that's already, that seems like a lot of money, right? But when you see what they're being paid for, Trudeau's brother, Alexandre, got, how much was it?
$30,000
for 8 appearances. I'm useless at math. I've got a 56 in grade 11 math. So I don't know, you know, how that pays out. But it's more money than I will certainly see in, you know, after 8 appearances on this podcast. And and his mother got, what was it, $300,000?
$250,000 she got for, I don't know how many appearances. But either way, it's pretty astonishing that Trudeau would go up there. And I remember I watched this press conference. I remember when it happened, when he announced $900 million to the Wii charity. And I didn't initially think anything of it because it was just like another a drop in the bucket of how much he has already spent. And I was kind of thinking like, okay, he's already spending like crazy. $900 million to a charity. And initially when you hear the word charity, you're like, oh, nice.
Yeah.
You know, charity, good. Children's charity for college students, helps some kids out.
Yeah.
No alarms went off immediately. But then it took like maybe 30 seconds of digging, just Googling the Wii charity and seeing how many Trudeau fingerprints are all over the thing, that you're kind of just like, how did you think that no one in Canada was going to notice?
And the weird thing is, it, like, again, allegedly, the Kiel Bai are pretty litigious, and I don't want to get sued because, you know, I've had my fair share of lawsuits this year. But I've heard some people say, allegedly, can't confirm whether this is true or not, that the charity aspect of it serves as sort of a front for the company side of it. So there's a private corporation here, private company, and there's a charity. And the company is where, obviously, all the money is pulled in from. And it's where you see, like, if you look at what the Wii charity does, they send private school kids to Ecuador, and they get them to spend an hour, you know, putting a few bricks down and sort of picking up small, you know, Ecuadorian children. And then they spend the rest of it on holiday, and it's like a 12 grand trip. And I'm a bit biased about the Wii charity. Actually, before I say that, let's go back to Margaret Trudeau. Because, as we're saying, she got paid an extraordinary amount of money to do 30 appearances or something. No one who is sane wants to listen to Margaret Trudeau. She is mental. And indeed, I believe she did some poetry thing in Chicago.
She did a one-woman show. She actually did I can't remember, it was like Circuit City in Chicago, something like that, some famous comedy club. And Margaret Trudeau, old Maggie, she went up and did a one-woman show, and it was all about her life as a promiscuous gal, I assume. I mean, she was sleeping around with the Rolling Stones and stuff. You know, she got up to a lot of crazy stuff. But even though you would think she'd be interesting, nobody wants to listen to her talk. No. Certainly not $250,000 worth of content from old Maggie Trudeau. Yeah. Get off the stage.
Yeah, and you know what? Full disclosure, I hate the Kielbergers. I shouldn't probably say it, but you know what? I'm going to plow ahead. I hate the Real Charity, Wee Charity, and it all stems back, and sorry if you can hear paper rustling in the background, that's our editor eating. I hate the Wee Charity. Hates it. And I know I shouldn't say this, but I'm going to plow on anyway, because, you know, people say I'm biased. Everyone knows I'm biased. I don't pretend. I'm a conservative. You know, I don't like Trudeau. But anyway, the Wee Charity, when I was in grade 8, they gave me a bucket, like a big yellow bucket at my school, all a part of this Wee Charity initiative. And they forced me to march down to a river, pick up, like, I don't know, I can't do measurements because, again, I'm terrible at math. But like a full bucket about that size, like fill up with water and bring it back to my school to walk in the shoes of an African woman. What is this achieving? We didn't even raise money. It's just suffer for the sake of suffering. So yeah, I do have a bit of a thing against the Wee Charity, and I think they should be stopped. And I think this is a good thing. And you know what I find really amusing? The Kielbergers, the Kielby, they went into this thinking, lads, we just got a great 900 million deal to do fuck all. and 2 weeks later, everything has gone tits up. They've got the worst public relations scandal in their history. Everyone doesn't like them now. Everyone's dropping connections with them. They're never going to get a government contract again. And I just find it enormously satisfying.
And as you said, this is Trudeau's third,
inevitably.
Trudeau's third ethics violation, which, like you said, the Aga Khan one, okay, one, sure. It's still not great. Probably should have zero. But one, we'll let you, the Aga Khan, who even knows what that is? It's like a guy that he's rich and he's Muslim and he flies people around and whatever. Who cares? And he's friends with him. What, vacation? I don't even care. The second one, SNC-Lavalin, was a nightmare. Kicking out women from his caucus. Boom. Get the hell out, Jody Wilson-Raybould, indigenous woman. Boom. Doctors? I hate doctors. Get out of here, Jane Philpott, you loser. Didn't really end well for him. Maybe affected the polling a little bit.
Well,
doesn't
he nearly
matter.
Lost the election because of it.
Almost.
And bear in mind, we had Andrew Scheer drinks too much milk as leader. So if we have an effective leader, and who knows whether McKay or O'Toole, who are most likely going to win, will be effective. But they're going to be more effective than Scheer, one would hope. And I don't know. I think this could really spell the end of a pretty vacuous and incompetent government. So fingers crossed, chaps.
Now, this is another thing. We'll just talk about this a little bit more. Do you think Canadians actually give a care about the Wee Charity scandal? Because we do write articles about it.
Yeah.
And they do okay. But they don't blow up, you know. They're, like, the traffic is fine, but it's not like people are foaming at the mouth, ready to pounce on Trudeau for this. Do you think people actually care, and do you think this will actually, in the long term, do anything?
It's very difficult to say. Bobby and I are very much in a conservative bubble. We interact with other conservatives, we're friends with other conservatives, and because we don't sort of like the arrogance of the liberal sort of metropolitan caste in Canada, we don't really see them or talk to them too much. So it's quite difficult for us to gauge how the public is reacting to certain events. Having said that, I did speak to my sister-in-law, who works as a civil servant in Ontario government. And she essentially said that this is so expected, that this is just the Trudeau government all over, that it's almost doing less damage, because everyone knew this sort of stuff was happening, you know? This isn't a surprise. Right. We just caught them, you know? Yeah. It's not a huge revelation, and I think that is going to affect it. But at the end of the day, it matters, firstly, in Quebec, whether Yves-François Blanchet can capitalize on this, And whether the Conservatives, like, hopefully Poilievre, because Poilievre is so, I love Pierre Poilievre, he's great. If Poilievre was leading the discussion on this, I think the Liberals can get affected in the polls. And if he can keep up the pressure until August, until when the Conservative leadership debate is done and he can just pass off the baton, then maybe. But I've been pretty disappointed in this stuff before.
Yeah, he's made out of Teflon, dude. Nothing seems to stick.
Yeah.
Hopefully this is the one that it's simple enough, it's digestible, people understand that it's wrong, people can see clearly there's digits, there's number figures of why this is bad, and people will care and eventually, hopefully, vote for someone else. Just yeah. Vote for someone else. This guy's crooked, more crooked than Nico's teeth.
That's a bit harsh.
Sorry.
But I take your point.
Let's move on.
Yeah.
Perhaps to our next segment.
Mm-hmm. Which is?
Just fucking waiting for this guy.
We have a, for those listening at home, we have a workman in the office who seems to be making as much noise as reasonably possible. Perhaps he's a Liberal plant. Who knows? Maybe it's Peter McKay's campaign staffer has come in here and is interrupting the podcast. But who knows? But anyway, we'll plow on and hopefully
you can hear it. We have two quick topics that we're going to get into very quickly. And one has to do with one of these. I have one. I don't really wear it anywhere. I kind of think this whole virus thing is a hoax. I'm not going to die from
don't
it.
Don't say that. Come on.
But
full disclaimer, we don't think the virus is a hoax.
I don't think it exists. I certainly don't think anyone's died from it. It's about Andrew Scheer, our friend Milky, sweetie, pudgy, friendly Andrew Scheer.
American Scheer.
American Andrew Scheer. Yeah. Not a real estate agent, Andrew Scheer.
Yeah. Turns out, not a real insurance broker.
So Andrew Scheer was spotted at the Toronto, I think it was the Pearson Airport, sitting around without a mask on. Now.
That bastard.
Now, apparently, this was the craziest story ever. Apparently, this makes Andrew Scheer Hitler?
Does it?
I don't know. People were really upset about this. And to the point where, during this whole We Charity scandal, crisis, whatever you want to call it. Not a crisis. I wouldn't call it a crisis. But at the press conference, Andrew Scheer's next press conference.
Yeah.
During a scandal, while the Liberals are going through a scandal, Andrew Scheer was asked about it. And it was actually the first time I've ever seen Andrew Scheer ever show his teeth. And
it's
actually
a bit of energy.
Say,
and it wasn't even that much energy.
It wasn't even that much energy.
Mildly irritated.
it was just slight irritation. And he basically just said, are you serious? You're going to ask that to me right now? Like, there's basically just a crisis going on, you know? So, Andrew Scheer, what do you think, Nico? Does this matter at all?
Well, I think the reason a lot of people were upset about this is because it fits into the narrative that there's one rule for the political elites and one rule for ordinary Canadians.
Right.
And, yeah, I sort of get that. You know, he's a leader. He's been advising people to wear masks and stuff. He should probably be wearing a mask. But that narrative, the idea that the establishment gets away with stuff that ordinary people don't, is so much more overt in the We Charity scandal that the fact that people can even compare the two or say that, Scheer deserves all this media criticism, where Trudeau is getting very little, in comparison to what he's done, is deeply audacious.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, I agree. It seems like there's two standards, but not between people. It's between parties. Mm. It seems like the Conservatives, once again, are getting just kind of hell for something that really doesn't – I mean, does it matter? Yeah, I guess it matters. You should probably wear a mask if you're at the airport. It's probably, the worst place to not wear a mask. To be fair, I would wear a mask at the airport, even though this whole thing is made up by the Chinese to ruin our economy, which is a joke. But I would absolutely recommend, Andrew Scheer, it was kind of a dumb move. But that's where the conversation should really end. Is there really anything else to say about this? No, I just wanted to touch on it. I thought it was maybe interesting. Do you have anything else to add on that?
No, it's all a bit dull. But I think it's revealing in one aspect, and that's how the media in this country are just desperate to dogpile any Conservative mistake. And it's so prevalent in everything. It's just these banal, placid, in some cases flaccid, errors which pop up or you know, these minor scandals which turn into just month-long incidents because the media thinks it's interesting about the Canadian public cares. But there we are. I think it's all pretty dull.
Yeah, no one cares. I don't think it matters. Let's move on to our next topic. Topic number three, and probably one that least people probably have heard about or care about. And it was the Conservative Party debates between three of the four candidates, Dr. Leslyn Lewis, Derek Big Forehead Sloan, and who was the other one? Oh, Aaron O'Toole, of course. Aaron O'Toole. Now, this was a BC, British Columbia, not before Christ, specific debate, which saw three candidates with not Peter McKay, who was not anywhere to be seen, just felt like not showing up.
He was in Quebec having poutine whilst all this was going down. Posted one picture. So everyone else was, you know, at a debate, and Peter McKay is hanging out with Quebecois children eating poutine. Really bizarre.
Really weird.
Yeah.
But we watched the debates. We had a drinking game, you know, a drink every time Derek Sloan says something racist, for example.
Every time he says the Paris Accord.
Every time they say the Paris Accord or something like that.
Yeah.
I'm joking about Derek Sloan. He's a nice guy. I know him personally. Don't know him personally. But yeah, it was a lot of fun. Well, actually, it wasn't that much fun. But we did get pretty drunk, and we got to watch the debates. And the takeaways, I think what anybody that was watching saw, Dr. Lewis looked much more comfortable.
Yeah.
She was much more coherent. She seemed like she was able to complete
more
thoughts.
More statesmanlike.
Stateswomanlike, I guess you would say. That could be because it was on a Zoom meeting. It wasn't an in-person debate. But to be fair, her first debate was on the national stage in person in front of everybody to see and to totally pick her apart. So, I mean, totally, because she blew it. The first debate, the French one was a nightmare.
Yeah.
It was like listening to a blender with marbles in it. But to be fair, she did well enough.
In the French debate?
Like, she tried.
Yeah, but it's not, doesn't matter.
Yeah, it didn't matter.
Yeah. It was pretty abysmal.
Yeah,
even the English language debate wasn't great. But, you know, kudos to her. And I think the important thing to recognize here is that 4 weeks ago, or however long the debates were, 3 weeks, 2 weeks, who knows, she was terrible, and now she's looking slightly better. So there's some improvement there, and I think that is the sort of argument people should make in favor of Lewis, that she's improving. And give her 5 years, put her in the shadow cabinet, you know, let her be briefed on policy, because I talked to her a bit about policy, and she's not, you know, she hasn't studied it meticulously, which you wouldn't do if you weren't elected representative of the people.
Right.
But, you know, in 5 years' time, she's going to be such an asset to the Conservative movement.
Huge.
Whereas Peter McKay, the guy didn't show up. He just thinks of the whole thing as a coronation. It's above him to show up to Conservative Association debates. I don't like Peter McKay. I'm going to be perfectly honest. But, again, I shouldn't go off on a rant. Who do you think won?
Derek Sloan.
No. Yeah.
Actually, I thought it was a pretty even debate. I did want to comment on something Derek Sloan said. I know I'm picking on him here, but it was because he said something that was really weird. I think we both kind of... What? Yeah, kind of was like, what did he say?
Yeah.
Where he said that Canadians were getting frustrated with Justin Trudeau's lack of...
Toughness,
like putting culpability on China, and that was manifesting in discrimination towards Chinese Canadians.
Yeah, it was pretty weird.
It's a weird thing to say. I can maybe see where he was going with that, but you have to really flesh out those ideas.
It was almost...
you can't just throw that out there as an aside.
It appeared almost as a justification for the discrimination.
That's what it sounded like.
Sort of weird.
Yeah.
I don't know. Maybe you guys will think we're sort of, you know, picking on something which doesn't necessarily need it. But he has had a fairly dodgy history with Chinese comments. If we bring up Dr. Theresa Tam.
Which, by the way, can we just say, he lied about. at the debate.
Oh, that annoyed me.
That was a blatant lie. We'll just say it.
Like, oh, well, people are getting angry at me because I said we should fire Dr. Sam. Like, no.
People are getting mad at you because you questioned her allegiance to Canada.
Yeah.
And
she's a bit dodgy.
And you suggested that she was a Chinese asset.
And it's so unhelpful. And the reason why it's unhelpful is because the Conservative Party are really trying to appeal to the broader Canadian public.
Right.
And what the media are great at in Canada, the establishment media, is demonizing conservatives, telling the public that they're racist, that they're homophobic, that they're reactionary. Yeah. And when you give them ammunition, it just furthers that, which is why conservatives have to be so careful. And Derek Sloan isn't careful. And you may say, well, good for him for, you know, being anti-PC, all the rest of it. But you have to be pragmatic.
Yeah.
And, you know, I'm sure everyone here, none of us want Justin Trudeau to win the next election. And if that's going to happen, then we need to win voters who are a bit worried about some of the Conservative positions, who are a bit scared about it. And we need to prove to them that we're perfectly, you know, fine modern party. And that's not going to happen if people like Derek Sloan keep barking, you know, about nonsensical ideas. So, yeah, I'm not keen on the guy. I didn't appreciate it. I did think Erin O'Toole was pretty good. I thought Erin O'Toole was by far the most statesmanlike. I think even better than Lewis. He didn't get into the fray of the debate.
Yeah.
You know, Lewis and Sloan sort of attacked each other quite a lot. O'Toole stayed above that, perhaps because his closest competitor wasn't there.
Probably.
Yeah, because we did see him attacking McKay quite a lot and vice versa. But no, O'Toole looked good. He just looks competent, clever. And if I'm going to put money on it, and I don't like making bets, I think O'Toole's going to win it. I think he'll win it in the third round. Sloan will go out first, Lewis will go out second, and then McKay won't ever get the 50%. So we'll see.
Do you think there's a chance Lewis could come in second?
Yeah, there is a chance. She's doing really well. I know some people in the O'Toole campaign have told me, you know, that they're watching Lewis's success with some skepticism, or I suppose not skepticism, but agitation. So we'll see. I think it's still more than likely that O'Toole will win, and that's because just McKay, anti-McKay vote is so strong, and for good reason.
Derek Sloan, you're our loser of the week.
No, it's the Kielbergers.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, can we... Yeah, Derek Sloan was the loser last week, but let's bring that up again.
All right, let's get the graphic going.
Loser of the week.
Doop-a-doop-a-doop-a-doop.
Loser of the week, Mark Kielberger. We're going to say Craig... But Mark Kielberger donated to the Liberal leadership election. Craig Kielberger is more attractive than his brother. Mark Kielberger's really lost. Because at least Craig can come out of this thinking, well, at least I don't have a receding hairline. But Mark does. So Mark, yeah, stick it, mate.
All right. I don't know if we really have anything else to talk about.
No, it's been... Oh, shit. Do you like and subscribe? Really important.
Really important.
Yeah.
In fact, if we get 200 likes on this video, I will do something so crazy. You won't even believe it.
You'll ruin his career in the next episode.
I will ruin my career by saying something so crazy, which I might have already ruined my career in this one. The coronavirus, it's not a hoax. I'm sorry about that. Derek Sloan... Sorry, you're not racist. That was also a joke. Everything I say is a joke.
Everything's a joke.
Everything is a joke. And you have to understand, this is a political show, but it's also a comedy show, which is kind of difficult to do. You can probably imagine that.
Well, it's difficult to do because neither of us have a particularly good sense of humor.
Yeah, we're not very funny.
Yeah.
So anyhow, thank you for watching. Leave a like, a comment, subscribe. Let us know if you liked it. Leave a comment below. Tell us who you thought won the debates if you even watched it. Tell us what you think about Andrew Scheer. And tell us how you think the Wee Charity scandal is going to end.
Thanks so much for watching,
fellas. Thanks for watching.